It's been a while, but we're back again right here. This is the Sample Access Podcast. And of course, brought to you by your happy boys. You know us already. The voice talking to you right now is Nelson, the main man, the metrics, the seasoned guy. And you know, I always have, you know, alongside Boyega Adeoya. I know he doesn't have a name that we can call him, but it's all good. Do you guys understand exactly, you know, why he's like this? He's a typical Nigerian man. There's nothing you're going to say to bring him, to give himself a nickname. I've called him Boyejizi. He did not accept. I don't know any other name to think of again, but I'm sure something will come up some other time. Well, this is episode 76. I've been doing this for 75 episodes. Thank you all for listening and following us all the way. And we're excited about, you know, we're always excited about every episode because it's a time for us to learn about new music, old music. And we're going to start today with something interesting. But before I go any further, Goiga, how you doing?
Yo, it's good. It's good to be back and do this destiny work, right? It feels like destiny work. And it's exciting every now and then. It's inexhaustible, which is like something that I find interesting, right? That you can dig, you can keep digging in rabbit holes of music discographies, and you find new gems, you find new stories, you find new people every now and then. And it just doesn't stop. So the Yoruba people call it agbonagbe. You keep taking from it and it doesn't get dry, right? So
even the
ones you take are bits in the wealth of history, in the amount of work that is out there. Some unpublished, some music that didn't make it out. I was listening to the great broadcaster, Yoruba broadcaster, Ola Olotu, a while ago, one of his videos talking about Anyinla Omowura and Barista, SAP. And he spoke about the difference between the two of them. Barista went to shows, played live shows, and everything was recorded as albums, live albums, so that Barista can say after a couple years of music that he has 40 albums. Anyinla Omowura, however, would go to live shows and they wouldn't record for whatever reason. Maybe technology, maybe the team wasn't just that, you know, business oriented, and he would not have any. And then Barista would brag and say, yo, I'm better than you. I have 40 live albums. You only have your studio albums. We are not mates. Just because of, I'm saying all of that to say some music is lost forever. We'll never see them. And these are gems. And it just tells you how vast the library is, the global library of music. And it doesn't stop. Artists like Logic, like, you know, pick a random rapper, Prob Koz, or any of those rappers you don't necessarily know down here, and you hear 7 albums, you hear 5 albums, and this has, you know, 10 songs. Randomly listening to a Fadjo album like a few months ago, and it's just bangers. And I'm realizing this was 2002, 2003, and is whoever did not catch up with that, if it's only 1 million people that listen to that album, it's just 1 million people that listen. The rest of the 200 million other hip-hop lovers did not catch up, and that's gone. If it's in 5 years' time that they catch up, they'll be like, yo, this was there. I mean, if you listen the day I listen, you probably know the album. I can't recall the title. But you know these are bangers from head to toe. And we talk about Fabulous or Jada Kiss. These are, so my whole story is that some music is lost in history. They might come back sometime, but it just tells you about how vast the whole library is. And we're excited to pick and choose once in a while and talk about some of them. Today we are going back to 80s Nigerian music. What about that?
Yeah, so like you said, I mean, the music is unending. Like, it would never, if you listen over and over again. I remember I saw one start a couple of years ago, and what was said is that if you listen to a new song, especially like if you listen to a new song for you, that means songs that have been done from the 60s down to this point, you wouldn't listen to 10% of it before you die. Do you know how, you know, crazy that is? Thinking about that alone just puts you in a new sphere, a new understanding to just have a picture of how many songs are just lying around. So you want to pick up songs from the 40s and listen to every single song that has been done. You cannot exhaust 10% or even 15% before somebody dies. But this particular episode, we would be focusing on, you know, 80s Nigerian music and see how we can connect it back to the new sounds of now. Of course, sampling is what we do. We talk about samples all the way. So we are just going to stick to that, you know, status quo. This episode, like I said earlier, we would be talking about Nigerian music from the 80s. And we know the 80s to be an exciting time for Nigerian music. Not because, you know, music was popping at the era. And this is, when you think about things that, major things that were done in the 80s, music kind of takes a big hold. I feel like that was the time music became, you know, a global phenomenon. I know music has always been popping since 40s and 50s and 60s, but when you think about the 80s, you know, and all the inventions and the movement into, you know, the new age, music takes a major part of it. And it, of course, Nigeria was not exempted. We had great sounds right here, even all the way from the 70s. Because you think about the Lijada sisters, you think about the 80s where Fela went crazy with the music, went crazy with the sound, had his people working on things that were special. And then you also had the smaller Nigerian artists too, Chris Mba, God bless his soul. You have people like Chris Okotie that is a pastor now. You have DZK Fowler. You have a lot of artists that you can call over on regular. And then you have the wonderful women too in the industry, like Tina Awunduwe. You have Evietna Ogoli. You think about people like, of course, Onye Kanwenu, the person we're going to be talking about today. And, you know, I'm trying to think of a couple of artists that were actually really, really big. You know, Theodora Ifudu. I do a lot of them. The lady too in Fuji. Boyega, please help me with her name. Abeni.
Salawa Abeni.
Salawa Abeni, you know, big also. She came through then in the 1980s as well. And there's a particular name I'm trying to remember right now that I can't place for one reason or so ever, you know. But then you also think about Obi Onyoha as well. But I'll start this 1980s tune.
What do you remember that person for?
Yeah, she's also one of those women that made, you know, proper music in the 80s. You know, we don't have a lot of them of course, we had a lot of music, a lot of them. You know her name. I'm trying to remember her name right now. She did one or two songs. Not Venom Ariogi.
What kind of song?
Of course, it's like, it was like more or less like the pop of the era. Okay. She has this. You were the one that actually, I'd known her before, but you were the one that brought her back, you know, to my memory.
I guess
is obviously up there too as well. And this particular woman, she has this. No, I've called Theodora Ifudu already. There's this particular name. She had just this one major song that was big.
Let me remember.
It's so sad that I can't remember.
No. Just hold on. Is she Yoruba?
No, she's not Yoruba. She has this weird middle belt name.
Evietna.
No, I've called Evietna already.
Okay, I think we should let you go then. Whenever we remember, we'll do some digging.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure when I remember her name, I would let you know. And of course, I'll bring it back to the podcast. But a lot of all those women made proper music. But one thing that stood out for them was the way and the pattern at which they did their song. So we had a couple of record labels. I'm sure we know that. For example, Venom Ariogi, she was known for working with Tambasi Records. Onye Kanwenu was known for working with EMI at some point. She worked with Benson and Hedges at some point. She worked with Premier Music for distribution, which was a big deal at the time. And, you know, I want to feel your love by Obi Onyoha was a big deal too at the time. And the thing about Black on Black, Tina Awunduwe, amazing stuff from the woman.
You were trying to remember.
What's the name again?
Nelly Uchendu. No.
Nelly Uchendu is one name, but that's not the person I'm trying to remember.
Okay. All right, go on.
Nelly Uchendu, of course. Thank you very much, Gregor, for that too as well. Love Wantity. I'm sure at some point we would be able to bring that back here in the podcast to explain, because I'm sure one of the recent hits in the world, you know, of Nigerian music lately is CK's Love Wantity, which has a little bit of a connect with, you know, the one that Nelly Uchendu did as well at the time. But, you know, Nigerian 80s music was proper and big. And one of the things that we fought for was a recognition of an original sound. We have few people doing it originally, talking about Evietna and maybe Tina Awunduwe with that African music, and also the other ladies as well, Chrissy Essien Igbokwe too. all these women, they had a connection with the Nigerian sound. And I feel like, I mean, a lot of people might come for me at this, but I think the women of the 80s had a stronger connection to Nigeria than the men of the 80s. The men of the 80s took a lot from the guys from the outside, talking about the from Sheik, from Lakeside, from the Whispers, from Luther Vandross. There was a lot of connect there. But for the women, they stayed grounded and they did music that was solely for Nigerians, but could also be sold outside as well. And we move on and then put Onyeka Onwenu giving us Golden Songs Volume 2 in 1984. And I know a lot of people, when you think about Onyeka Onwenu, one song comes to mind, but maybe two. One song being One Love, which was done in 1986 or 87. And also, you think about the other tune, which is Wait For Me, that she did alongside King Sunny Ade. Those ones are like the big ones. But for this particular episode, we're going to be talking about Iyogogo. Iyogogo was released in 1984, written, of course, by Onyeka Onwenu, one of the songs of her album that kind of stood out in the Golden Songs Volume 2. Now, Onyeka Onwenu, of course, she was known to be, you know, a TV person. You know, she was an on-air presenter, working with NTA at the time, but she started to make music. She's even known by a lot of 80s people for that BBC documentary that she did alongside Tina Omudiwe. And I'm sure a lot of people do not know this, but Tina Omudiwe actually worked with her on that particular BBC's documentary. And they made a couple of songs as well for that documentary that did very, very well in the 1980s. But in 1984, she did Iyogogo. And to think about the fact that Iyogogo was done when she had left, when she was about to leave EMI Records. So EMI Records were actually in charge of that song, but Premier Music were the one that distributed it at the end of the day. I do not understand exactly why this happened, because if you check back at officially released albums, Onyeka Onwenu has a different list. And if you check albums that she released that were not official, you talk about the Golden Songs Volume 1. Now, for example, Golden Songs Volume 1, you had One Love. I know this can be mistaken, because Goldie Songs Volume 1 came out in 1986, Volume 2 came out in 1984. This disparity, I do not understand. But from the best of my digging, this is exactly what happened. So One Love that came out in 1986/1987 was released not on an official album, like you would see on the Discogs website and the like. So I think there was lack of communication between EMI Records that she was working with at the time, and then, you know, Premier Records that she was working with in Nigeria as well. So I think she was one of those people that had those issues then. So they had to release different albums, because of course you had like some other albums from her in the 80s that were released by EMI, and then some other albums that were released by Premier Music. But all we are happy about is the fact that we got all of the songs and they were beautiful. Iyogogo, I'm sure anybody that listens to the song would feel like, yeah, this song takes me all the way back, because there's no way you would listen to Yogo and you would not be transported back to somewhere in the 80s. Everything about our song, the arrangements, the verses, it speaks Nigeria in the 80s. And because it is traditional and, you know, you can hear the Igbo Yogo in it, it just makes perfect sense. Even people that are not, or people that don't understand the language at all, they love the song. So, Boyega, please tell us about your first time listening to Iyogogo.
So I joined radio 2012, I think around 2013. The person I was learning audio production, right? The person I was learning from, he's from Edo State, and his name is Okaka Oki Sinatra. And he played, I think he heard that song being played, and he just...
Are you saying his name was Okaka Oki Sinatra? That's his real name.
Yeah. That's his name, Okaka
Oki. Amazing.
That's his name, Okaka Ohi Sinatra. I think his first name is Ohi. So he heard that song being played, and then he just went berserk where we were seated. Like, that's my song. I grew up on that song. And he almost started dancing. And I'm like, okay, what is it about this song? Meanwhile, of course, we grew up on One Love. I didn't know so much about Onyeka Onwenu, apart from I knew she was getting political at some point in the 2007-8-9, she was in a political party and she participated as woman leader. So I started to drift away from Onyeka the musician, Onyeka the broadcaster, to Onyeka the politician and elder stateswoman, right? So when that song came up, and I remembered, oh, I know Onyeka from One Love. At that time, I did not know Dancing in the Sun. I didn't know other songs. So when I heard Yogogo and the way my oga reacted to it, I said, let me pay attention to this song. So I then, you know, listened at the time. It still did not simmer. It was like years later when I was in one YouTube rabbit hole and I just played Yogogo and I could not stop. By the way, I had dated an Igbo woman. So I think it made it simmer better.
Okay.
So when I didn't know what she was saying. I just knew that it sounded like, of course, it's a love story. Come and meet me at the bishop's house by 5 a.m. Do you love me? Are you really serious about this? You know, you get that love essence from the song, and it's just so powerful. And when you go to YouTube comment section, people start to relive those memories. Oh, AIT or channels played this a lot when I was young. 5 a.m. they used to wake us up with this song, blah blah blah. And then that's my first approach, or that was the first time I heard Yogogo. And then I would go on to learn more about Ekwe and Dancing in the Sun and other works by Onyeka Onwenu. So that's like pretty much how I connect with her. But of course, I relate more to her now as a pioneer in Nigerian music, a leader in, you know, social commentary and activism and, you know, sometimes politics and all of that. So she's an all-rounder in her work. And, you know, it's just amazing. So I think it's time to flip to the sample that we heard. Of course, P Square on Bankalat. A lot of people would know that, but I did not really connect it early enough. It was only recently that I connected, oh, okay, Yogogo was like taking or reused, extrapolated by P Square on Bankalat. How much of that is it really a big deal?
I think it's a big deal. And one of the funny things about this particular sample is how it was done. Now, we know P Square, big shout out to them, Paul and Peter Okoye, they are known for doing amazing stuff when it comes to sampling. I need to sit down with those guys and ask them, how exactly did you guys come around this idea? Was it that you people were stuck in terms of, like, you know, getting inspiration and you decided to work with somebody else's sound, or you decided to just take up a sound and say, let's redo this completely and make it sound as Nigerian as possible? Bankalat and Yogogo, in terms of genre, in terms of energy, are two completely different songs. And I'm sure, boy, guy, you would agree with me. Come on. Like, you, when you're listening to Yogogo, you already said it, you know, it's a love song. There's a feeling attached to it. And you're listening to Bankalat, they are completely, they are two different things entirely, right?
Bankalat is Raz now. It sounds like...
Of course. So, like, Yogogo is classic.
It doesn't
it's loving. It's simple. Bankalat is heavy all over the place. But also, like, you know, for the sound of the time, which is 2016, it was a popping song because P Square had not released anything for a while, and then they dropped Bankalat, and it became a thing. Oh yeah, my Bankalat now, you know, everything was popping. And I think that was also the time where getting Bankalat was becoming a thing. So, like, you'll be able to talk to somebody, okay, send me money so that, you know, I can receive a lot and all of that. So it was becoming a thing at the time, was enormous, like a viral thing at the time. So that's why that song was popping. But I do not understand, and that's why I would not blame people that miss that sample. Because if somebody tells you, like, you have not heard Bankalat before, and somebody tells you that, okay, Yogogo was sampled in this song, you're like, all right, and let me hear what they did with it, and they start the song, I'm sure you'd be in disbelief that how exactly did these guys work it out into this particular song. Like, what approach, what angle did they come in from? What exactly did they do to even bring this into play? You understand? And then you see that, oh yeah, okay, these guys are probably masters at their craft. And you think, I was listening to a couple of P Square songs before we got on to start, you know, to recording. I heard songs like Am I Still That Special Man from Game Over, and then, you know, Say Your Love Though They Die. And I'm like, these guys could have actually done this Yogogo sample in another light entirely, and it's something different. But they decided to be on the edge and do something off, or something that a lot of people looked at and would have looked at and said, this is not usual, but they still killed it because they waited, even though you could hear the sounds of the sounds of, you know, the rhythm somewhere in the song, they waited towards the end of the song to actually do the proper interpolation. And I know I never do this on the pod, but I need to ask you, Gwega, you have heard the sample. Are you impressed?
No, I'm not. I'm not impressed. So P-Square does, I don't think they do spectacularly, I don't think they do anything spectacular with, and this sounds so wrong, I'll probably remove it. It sounds so disrespectful. I think their samples are pretty simplistic. I don't know.
I don't agree. Their earlier samples, I don't agree. The new ones, maybe, but the earlier samples, I don't agree.
Okay, here goes. I was trying to remember one of those early ones. Look at the Fuji's one on Dumi. Is it Dumi or Busybody now? You can run away. I would do, like, that's a lifting. You literally lifted four bars from what's this woman's name, Lauryn Hill. You relayed it, and I'm talking YJ/P-Square here. You relayed it on a new beat, and that's it. There's no sophisticated application.
Wouldn't you say that that was more of YJ than P-Square?
Yeah, but that's P-Square song. Are you sure it's Dumi or Busybody? You can run away. I just don't.
It's Dumi.
You're sure it's Dumi?
I love right? The way. Bye bye. Oh, it's Busybody actually. Busybody.
Now, you can say that's YJ. That's fine, but that is just listening to a song and singing it again. It's different from pitching up. It's different from what Wu-Tang Clan does with sampling. It's different from standard hip-hop sampling, from production to, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm being too technical, but...
Well, let me just quickly chip something in this part, Ebuiga. I feel like at the time when they started, I think one of the things they didn't do very well was interpolation. That is like cutting off a sound, but sounding like... having the rhythms of songs and redoing them in your own way. Well, the first time that I met you, everything that I don't get you, get it. And I take it upside down. You know that sound is from another song.
Oh, really? What song is that? Not Joe.
Yeah, I can't remember right now exactly, but that flow was from a song. But they did it. Now, I can't remember the song right now. I'm sure when I remember, I will talk about it later. But they did it in their own way, and it sounded, I mean, I remember the first time I heard it and I know the sound at the time. I'm sure the Nigerian one, the way they did it sounded way better. Jigget. So I'm giving it to them and saying, these guys in their early days, and I'm not even talking about that alone, they kind of like, not mimicked, but they took off a lot of how they made their music videos, the way they sang, from all these guys, Usher, Michael Jackson, you know that, right?
Yes, and that's what you just said. It was probably cool at the time, you know, get squared, everybody get squared, directly mimicking Usher and Michael Jackson. But maybe it's me, but I like sophisticated creativity, if there's anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure because of the fact that you're a hip-hop head and you listen to a lot of hip-hop samples, it would be a problem for you to wrap your head around them doing something like that. But please go on.
So long and short is that you have to do more than just sing it back to me. That's what I'm saying. You can't speak iyo gogo, anken and nebi shopo, and then if I digo, yes, you have changed four bars to two and a half, and then you added yours. But I don't know how to say it. Look at what MI did with Safe. Okay, maybe that's a perfect example. He's going to pick one song, and then before he reaches the end of the sentence, he has changed the pattern of the song to something new. That's creativity. That's innovation. You don't repeat four bars back to me and say you have done something superb. Anybody can do that. Yes, you have a great voice. Yes, you have tenacity to make 15 songs, but you have just repeated songs back to me. So I appreciate the fact that a song like that can be reused or remade or sampled. But ultimately, I want to hear you do magical things with an old song. maybe what Seyi Vibes did with Eliwure Wole by Fatai Olowoyo on GOAT. You know, that's not really the perfect example, but I just want to hear something new from something old. It's like turning water to wine. That's a reach, but you get what I'm saying. But it doesn't take away from their craft and what they have been able to build from consistent work in writing songs. Whether you say copying or not, they have built something from that, entertained people, and I think that's an important craft. So my question is, in addition to your reactions to my points, what album was Bankalat on, and where does he rank in their most recent hit?
Well, Bankalat was actually a single. Bankalat was not part of an album. It was a single. In fact, the only body of work you can put Bankalat to be a part of is the one they curated for the tour they were going to take on last year. So 2022, they created a couple of songs, I think about 16 or 17 songs for their world tour. Of course, after they came back together again. And it was a single in 2016. I feel like they were trying to tap into the singles, you know, vibe at the time. And I'm sure it did a good number, because I remember the album, the video was released mid-September, and before 22nd of September, it already had 1 million views. So I think the goal was achieved, and they got that vibe, they got that spark again. But it was just, you know, them trying to tap into the singles market at the time. The 2016 was Davido's year, you know, Davido was balling and everything, and it was the singles era. So I think they just tapped into the single. And if I'm going to put it among their hits, I really don't know. Bankalat does not come to mind when you think about top 15, top 20. I don't know whether you agree with me on this, Vega.
I think not top 20. There's a lot more songs. But in recent history, I don't know if I would be right if I said that P-Square has struggled to make hit songs. You know, when they splitted, Mr. P and Rude Boy had their individual hits, Audio Money, or what's the name of that song? Reason With Me, and then...
Oh, Reason With Me. I really wish they did Reason With Me together. It would have been like that major song for them.
Right, but that's the destiny of that song. And I think Mr. P also had his own moment with, I think, I can't even separate them, Mr. P and Rude Boy. But you can't compare that. Even Danger was bigger when, you know, we go see Danger, Buneya, you know, Alingo. Those are recent hits from 2009 all the way to 2016, before whatever happened, right? But Bankalat came out good. You remember Testimony was huge. Who Made It Possible was also good. The one with Don Jazzy collabo was good. You know, many songs when they were together, when they had that moment. But Bankalat was also big, because it's danceable and all of that. But I think
we would be in the wrong if you say Bankalat wasn't big. But it's just that we wouldn't put it among their top 20 hits.
It would probably make number 19 or 20, but it wasn't in the class of, you know, the Game Overs. You know, they held the city down with those songs, with the Get Squared, Omogemi, Senorita. You talk about
I really want them to do a song like Bedu again. I just wanted to do something like that again. Everybody say,
look at songs like Uncle Please Tell Us a Story. So they seem to, there was something pure about P-Square in those days, right? It just changed. And I think we can just admit or agree that Bankalat would make top 20 P-Square hits.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like I could, you know, put together a better list. I just feel so. But let's just agree that Bankalat will be there somewhere. And even though we did not enjoy the way the sample was done, I think we just give it to them. They're one of those guys that take you all the way back. I'm sure if you're a fan of the music and you have not heard it in a long time, which happens in this day and time where there's so many music to consume, the moment you hear Iyogogo, you think back again, let me go and listen to One Love, let me go and listen to Wait For Me, let me go and listen to Iyogogo. So I think the job that it was supposed to do was done, right?
Yeah, right. That's about it. I want to check if we are missing out on any other P-Square song that sampled OG Nigerians.
I'm sincerely, I'm sure there is one, but for the sake of this episode, let's just keep it at this, because I'm very sure I can look at their list and listen to their songs and say, oh yeah, I'll pick up one or two. I think they did something on Sonny Okoso at some point. I'm trying to remember, but I can't remember the song now. But I'm sure they have done something from once or twice at least.
Incredible. So time to flip to the other side of the disc, of the cassette, of the vinyl. Do vinyls do side A, side B?
No, vinyls don't do side A, side B. But there's the way they do side A, side B is, for vinyl records, the first songs you hear are the side A. The last songs you hear are the side B.
Okay, you don't flip the disc. That's what I'm trying to get.
You can't. I think there's actually. I think you can. I can't. Can you? I don't think so. Okay, wow, I can't. Why is that messing with my head right now? I don't think so, though.
VCD and DVD, you can't flip the discs. So it's probably right that you can't flip vinyls. But I was trying to just double check if this episode is a vinyl. On this episode on Side B, we're talking Tenny sampling Shola Listen. And that's almost an uncharted terrain on this podcast. We do
really uncharted.
I remember we did X Mile sampling Barbara, just a tiny sample. And, you know, that's a rarity. So Tenny on the song Were from the album Wonderland sampled Shola Alison Obaniyi, one of, you know, Nigeria's gospel musicians. She sings in Yoruba. She inspires in Yoruba most of the time. And she's just amazing. The history of her music go back. I guess this is the part where I go all the way. But before I start, how long did you take before you found this sample?
To be sincere, I'm going to, you know, expose myself right now. I didn't even connect. And this is going to be really sad because I have people around me that listen to a lot of Shola Listen. If I tell you that, you know, but of course, I think, you know, it is okay. It is okay to sometimes miss all the samples. But I just feel like I should have done a whole lot better. I should have done a better job. Because I listen to Shola Listen at least once or twice in a month. And that's because of people around me, you know, my guys, you know, my friends, my girls, everybody. They are big fans of Shola Listen. So I would listen to, especially that Ejio Wuro soundtrack that was released in 2003. There's no way I would have listened to it. I've listened to it this month already. So you understand exactly how much of a fan, in quotes, I am, because there's no way I would not listen. But then picking up on this sample sometimes might be difficult. And I have to say, maybe it's because I didn't listen to Wonderland as much as I should have. I listened to them in parts. I never really digested the album as a whole. A big fan of Tenny though, but like I didn't do a good job on that part. But I know the Were song. I have a couple of songs of that album that I listen to a lot. Muslado, Injure Me, For You, Hustle. Those songs, come on, you know, they're like back to back. But I didn't listen to this. And I kind of feel really bad because you were the one that pointed out this sampling to me. It's so easy. It's so out there. It's so clear as day. And I still missed it.
You don't have to feel bad about missing it. You don't have to. So what I'm guessing is that you did not digest Ayofe Ejiwero album as well as most of us did in 2003 going into 05, 06.
Like I said, I listen to these songs a lot. I cannot say, you see, for me to be able to hear a sample, you don't need to have completely digested the song. But I'm saying I hear the song so often, even till date, I still listen to a lot of Shola Listen. And most of the time, when anybody wants to listen to Shola Listen around me, they always go back to that Ejio Wuro soundtrack. So I think last month I heard the entire thing at least two or three times because I was with someone that loves Shola Listen. And this happens often. So that's why I said I feel bad I think it is because I didn't do a proper job in listening to Were by Tenny and the album Wonderland. I only have a few songs that I listen to a lot. I feel like if I listened to Were like a couple of times, maybe I would have been able to connect.
Again, I'm going to say again, you don't have to feel bad that you missed it. We miss these things every time, right? And then Reflex might just bring it back. I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago, I played Were and I just started to that part of the song. I think it was beginning of the first verse on Were, and then she went on Are You Fair. Okay, maybe the reason why it's unmissable for me. Meanwhile, not like I did not pick it. I'd never picked it before 2 weeks ago. I'd picked it maybe first time it came out, or maybe I heard it on radio and I just ignored. But maybe a sample access was heavy on my mind this time. And then when I heard, I was like, wait. Okay, that's the song. All right, let me pen this down. Let me text Nelson, whatever. So yeah, Where by Tenny is a song on the album Wonderland by Tenny. It was dropped in 2021, I believe. So Are You Fair? Where do I begin? So 2003, I'm tracking back to Shola Allison's story. And she said at that time she was finding purpose. She was trying to find out, okay, why am I here? What's up with me? She's from Ikorodu in Lagos. She had grown up in that area, grown up in Lagos. Went to school. She studied in Ikeja, Government Technical College, Ikeja, where she studied business. And then the story goes that she was in the bus one of these days, and then she met a man who had a movie script. And then the man was like, "Oh, you make music, great. Would you do a soundtrack for my film?" The film was supposed to be called Rikelewa. And we're talking events leading up to 2003 when the film and soundtrack were released. So she said, "Why not? Let's do it." Prior to that time, in the 80s, story goes that she had done backup with musicians like Yinka Ifele, Gbenga Adeboye, Pasuma Obisiri, Dadishoki. So she had been a student of the game. She had taken part in music on those levels, going with live bands to backup for them. And of course, needless to say, she has an amazing voice. She's soulful with the way she speaks and sings. So 2003, the album broke out and In fact, I'm sure it, of course, it blew up more than the movie. In fact, the story also says the movie had to be changed from Orikelewa to Ijeowuro. So Ijeowuro has a certain vibe to it. It's rich in the Yoruba language. It's rich in love storytelling. It's pure and soulful, and it has a great essence. It is, you know, it appeals to everybody from young to old. It's a song that young people, no matter how young, can sing without harm, without any problem. So I think these are factors that helped or that really pushed the song. I know a radio when I was growing up in Ekiti that played it near every day. There was a love program that song was a template, was a signature tune, right? And so this song was everywhere. Ijeowuro soundtrack, essentially, by Shola Alison. So the movie, before I go on, was produced by Bimbo Oshin. And then this particular person found her, and then that would change her story for the next, you know, perhaps for life, if I can say, forever. Tracklist on Ijeowuro soundtrack, you have number one, Ayé Ofe, which is the song we're talking about today. Track two, Ijeowuro. Three, Orikelewa. In the intended title of the movie, there is Akosile, and then there's Omotutu. Omotutu is probably top two for me on that album. Ijeowuro, of course, would be number one. Omotutu, then Ayé Ofe, then Orikelewa. So those are the tracks on the album. Very iconic album. It would then be released again in 2014 under an imprint called, I think, Appeal. There is particular imprints that published that album for her in 2014. This was 10 years after the song initially came out. It was then re-released to streaming platforms in 2014. And the album is so impactful. If she performs Ijeowuro anywhere, the whole place goes off. So the story, the movie is of course a love story. Love like morning dew, refreshing every day. And then she adds the God is love perspective too. The song essentially emphasizes the fact that our love will follow God's word, will follow God's intentions for our lives and stories. So it's just super pure and soulful. What's your assessment of the album, and then how she would go on to become a gospel live music performer, you know, in the Nigerian music space?
I like the way you started with the fact that she was finding herself when this particular album was put out in 2003. I think at the time, nobody knew a lot about Shola Alison, so it was not like a big deal at first. But looking at the amount of things that happened, or the things that went down before this album was put out, it just kind of puts you in a new space, and you understand exactly like the creative process of, you know, actors, musicians, artists. The soundtrack was amazing. It was an eye-opener for her. It put her in the eyes of the world. And not to also forget that before that time, the people that used to do music for the Nigerian movie industries were a special set of people, if you understand what I'm saying. I think we spoke about Mike Ilham at some point having to do something with, you know, Abia Shaw in the early years, 1993, 94, 95, with the Chico Ejiros and the like. So there was always a special scene. And I think Tope Alabi at some point had a leg, you know, on top of that, especially in Nollywood. And I remember that Biowa Films and Record International as well in the early 2000s used to make their own songs. Talking about Gbenga Adewusi, that guy, you know, make their own songs. And it was a popular thing too. It was big at the time. And Bimbo Oshin, I don't know whether it was a debut direction. I can't remember, but I knew it was a debut, not just for Shola Alison, but also somebody else in that music, in that movie, you know, production thing. Whether it was Bimbo Oshin that was doing a debut as a director or producer, but it was something about debut, because I remember at the time it was put out there, okay, these guys are trying their hands on something for the first time, and it brought out something so beautiful. And I must say, I really want to see movies like that again. Movies like Ijeowuro, you know, perfect soundtrack, perfect movie. Everything just sinks and it's just beautiful. I think nowadays there's always, you know, one part of it lagging. And maybe this way we have an opportunity to talk about Kunle Afolayan, what he's trying to do now with...
I'm disagreeing with you and saying that they still make these movies. Times have changed and the parameters or the dynamics also have changed. But you can tell that Kent Etunjobi, for instance, like you told me on that Kunle Afolayan.
True. That's why I spoke about Kunle Afolayan later. I'm sorry for cutting you short, but I'm just saying that, you know, we're just getting back that groove. Before, it used to be everything had to be on check. Then there was a long time where we just wanted to put in as much work as possible. And then we became the, you know, the volume space. So we would always, for example, at one point in the mid-2000s, every Monday, at least 10 movies would come out. And I'm sure you know that every Monday you would have at least 10 fresh new movies. And it was just, there was sort of an imbalance. But now we are back again. Everything has changed. Parameters has changed. People are doing better now. You know, we don't even need to use music that is trending at the moment. We can create songs for movies. And it's quite beautiful to see. But talk about Shola Alison. She moved and from that particular, kind of sound at the time, which you cannot even... Obuega, I need to ask you this. Would you call Eji Owuru a secular soundtrack?
Yes, it is. It is secular. Now, I think that would lead me to speak about how Shola Alison spoke about her music in the context of spirituality. So she believes that the Bible does not even instruct you to make gospel music, quote unquote, or I should say, don't quote me. This is how I understood her speaking on that topic. So she says she makes spiritual music such that anybody can connect to it, regardless of your religion. All of us have spirits and we are spiritual beings. So whether or not you go to church, whether you connect to, whether you identify as a certain religion or not, you let your spirit live and thrive from good thoughts, from good music, from, you know, whatever, from nature. Your spirit would live anyway, whether there are churches or not. So I would like to believe that I got her right by that analogy. That said, Eji Owuru is a pure song. It's a secular song with the God factor, if that makes sense. That reminds me of Johnny Drew's Love Don't Lie. There was an analysis I heard about it that says, if anybody knows that song, the song has a certain duality. You would listen and you sound like he's talking about maybe a girl or a friend, but essentially, the song is about God guiding him. So there's something about songs that have that duality. So if Ebi Eji Owuru is a love song, I'm telling my partner that let's love ourselves with the love of God and respect God in our journey, which is what you would do anyway as a human being, whether or not you're religious. I don't know if this makes sense, but you get my point. So it's not...
It does. It makes perfect sense.
It's not a gospel song. It's a love song with a certain essence, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. It makes sense. And I think the song speaks for itself. I know that there are a lot of, you know, people out there that love it. And I'm sure we're talking about Eji Owuru in this time. A lot of people will go back to it and listen to it. But of course, Ayo Fe is the song we are talking about this one, on this particular episode.
I forgot that.
Yeah, Ayo Fe. It's because one way or the other, Eji Owuru would eclipse any song of that album. And it's not even the song's fault.
Right.
It's just how strong and rooted and beautiful Eji Owuru is. But Ayo Fe is the song we're talking about. Quite interesting too. Very interesting. Well put together as well. You know, and I think Shola Alison might want to run away from it and say, because yes, I've seen her talk about it, even till date, she still says something about you singing a normal song and there can be a lot of spiritual meaning to it. I'm not sure. I'm sure you must have seen her post lately. She's always talking about how music is beautiful and it depends on how you created it. It doesn't have to be, you know, in one certain way. Of course, like, you know, of course, you are praising God, but when there is the Holy Spirit in quotes in it, it's just a different tune entirely. But I understand how, like, you know, things can be spiritual. That's when you think about people like Bob Marley and say, Bob Marley made secular songs, but some of his songs can be said to be spiritual, and it makes perfect sense. Are you a fair jam song? I'm sure we're going to listen to it before we call it, you know, an episode. And Were did an amazing job. Now, this is where I come to you again. How would you rate the job that Tenny did with sampling the song? Same way we talked about P-Square.
Yeah, before I go to Tenny, there are a number of stuff or a number of things I want to say about Shola Alison still. Pardon me for messing up my synopsis and not arranging properly, but that's by the way. Discography for
it's all good.
Shola, listen, Ejeworo was 2003, and that is acclaimed to be her first album. There was Beje Fori 2005, Ire 2007, Imore 2009, Adun 2012, Okpe 2015, Imushe 2018, Ire 2019, Isodotun 2021, and Imisi came out 2022. I think progressively she immersed herself more and more into gospel scenes, and you can tell from her live plays, from her concerts, that she became more and more church, church centric, so to speak. Now, to some one more thing about Shola Listen. During her backup days, there was a popular Ifele song that is evident that she was a backup singer. Aspiration is the title of the album Toluwanile, the part of the album that had the song Toluwanile Ati Ekunre. She led that part, and you can tell she's also big on hymns. She's the story also mentioned that she attended CCC, Celestial Church of Christ Olusesi Parish, Akpata Igbala, Jewish again. In fact, she recently made a comment about Kent Edunjobi's viral song, so to speak, Ebenezer. Not Kent Edunjobi's song, my bad. It's the CCC. Apex Choir,
yeah,
led by Kent Edunjobi. The song is titled Ebenezer, and it's probably gospel song of the year as far as I'm concerned. So she made a comment about
Nobody's touching it. I'm not even joking. Nobody's touching that song.
Shola Alison made a comment about the power of those songs that come from, hymns, and she makes a comment about the fact that these are perhaps the purest of songs in the realm of gospel, because in Yoruba they call it Onyemi. African Pentecostal churches, CAC, I think Baptist, CCC, Ekwa. Remember, Ekwa had an episode as well. Omije Ojumi, we discussed that in our two episodes ago. Choral music in church and hymn writing. And when you listen to Edunjobi, that's Apex Choir Ebenezer song, you can tell the songwriting pattern follows the age-old pattern of hymn writing, and it's just amazing. It reminds me of what CCC Ayo New they did with their choir back then too. I'm talking 80s or 90s. Oke Mimo, I don't know if you know Oke Mimo.
Choirs have had their time in decades. Yeah. So in the 80s, the 90s, the CAC Women Choir, in the 90s absolutely, as well, you had Ekwa. Even in the early 2000s, Apostolic Faith, they had their own time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's amazing. So that's just that about that. Now move to Tenny. Tenny on that song, which is, I don't know if that's what they call ballads.
I think it would pass for a ballad. I think it would.
Tenny, he did amazing with, the album did not move too far, but Tenny, Tenny's Wonderland album, I'm not sure. Was there an album before Wonderland? Of course there was. Tenny's discography, she came out with Fajin, and Fajin was like the song that everybody knew her for as the first song that really, really moved. It didn't move as much as others. So progressively, she got bigger with the songs, not literally, but yeah. There was Wait, there was Ask Amaya, then Fake Jersey, and then she was all over the place with, okay, there was the Billionaire EP in 2020 or 2019, and she was everywhere with Billionaire, with the amazing video featuring Frankie Doho. So yeah, Tenny came up with that, did features, did amazing. But Wonderland was like a little decline, if I may say. Wonderland wasn't as big as previous Tenny was. Some tracks off of Wonderland, I like the intro, Maja is like, okay, yeah, I forgot to Yomiyo was part of that early run. So by the time Wonderland came, it just seemed as if
she had attained the height of, a rookie, like the highest height you would have reached for a rookie. So surpassing that would have been very difficult. I think she did well because she had a couple of hits of this Wonderland album. For example, Hustle, For You featuring Davido, Muslado too took on a life of its own. In fact, they had to do a refix for Muslado that came out this year. Mm-hmm. As girls, again, you know that.
Yeah, you know that for an album that has 17 tracks or 16 tracks with the bonus one, 100 meters, Injure Me was pretty, went far a bit. But there was Toxic, FBI, Game Over, Okocha, that song that, you know, Triple XL, some of those songs did not go really far for whatever reason, right? But I sense that she's making a comeback. And also, Davido is the only feature on the album, and that's pretty instructive. I appreciate the fact that there wasn't a lot of features, but I wish Wonderland went further. I like Maja, just off of listening to the Ondo dialect that started the album, you know, as part of the intro. I just like that. Uyomiyo was a moment, was a major viral moment in Tenny's career. So the song that sampled Are You Fair by Shola, listen, Where is the title of the song, track 10 on Wonderland. And then, I don't know if that's what they call ballads, but it's a soft song, it's a prayer song, it's a
thanksgiving song. I think it's to pass for a ballad.
Yeah. Joy. The Lord has done it, I'm happy. It was easy to do. Where Luba Miche. So the first verse on the song, Are You for Kare Rukaso? In fact, if she did not add Kare Rukaso, I probably wouldn't know that she was referencing Shola Alison. But that's pretty interesting to see that in 2021, 18 years after Shola Alison's Eiji Owuro soundtrack came out, an artist like Tenny would make use of that part of the song. I think it's just interesting. Ayo Fekare Rukaso, Ori Eni Longyoni. And yeah, she went on to do exploits, and she's about to make a comeback now with No Days Off being the first single from her upcoming album, I guess. So yeah, that's pretty much Tenny doing amazing stuff with Shola Alison's sample.
So I can tell for sure that you actually enjoyed what was done with the sample, not like the P Square version. So it's quite interesting that we got all of this. And I really like the quartet for today with what we did. So we'll just quickly go through the albums again. We spoke about Iogogo, the music that was done. The album Golden Songs Volume 2, Onyekanwenu, was when I did the song. 1984, it was released, and it was distributed by Premier Music. Now, the producer for that one, very difficult to find. I had to check everywhere, but I found nothing solid, so I'm just going to. So on the recap for the episode, we started with Iogogo, and that was done in 1984 by Onyekanwenu from the album Golden Songs Volume 2. It was distributed by Premier Music. And also we spoke about Bankalat, that was a single released in 2016 by P Square. And of course, they're known for hits, so dropping a single at the time was quite strange, but it was exciting. And of course, on the other side of the Sample Access episode for today, the music Ayo Fair was released off the album called Eiji Owuro, the soundtrack for the movie that was released in 2003 by the artist Shola Alison of Banii. And the song that sampled Shola Alison's Ayo Fair was Were by Tenny in 2021. The name of the album, Wonderland. That's Wondaland. That's about it.
Production credits, no producers mentioned here.
The only one that I have is Tenny's Were, which is produced by Moses Philip Coyote.
Okay, amazing. That's about it, episode 76. 77 is going to be very, very special. Look out for that, and we can't wait to come back and, you know, give you great content. Wigadeya here. Please send us a message. We'd like your feedback. You can also send a voice note to any of our DMs on Instagram or on Twitter. And I think this is a time where we leave an email where they can send mails to, fan mail, or voice note, or anything that you want us to work on or anything you have about the podcast. Nelson, what's the mail?
The mail is sampleaxis1@gmail.com. sampleaxis1@gmail.com.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. We'll see you next time. We out.
Papa, ba mi se, were, lo ba mi se, so.